Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 o'clock. This Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we will have a low Mass at 8:30 in the morning. The feasts for this week are, today is the feast of St. John of the Cross. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Catherine of Alexandria. Tuesday, the feast of St. Sylvester and St. John Berkmans. Thursday, the feast of St. Catherine Laboure. Friday, St. Saturninus. And Saturday, St. Andrew. There is a votive Mass this week on Wednesday of St. John of the Cross. And today begins the Christmas sale for the sisters in the hall. So everyone is invited to see the items from the sisters. Okay, so blessing of articles after Mass, benediction today. Thursday we have the Mass at 8:30, it's Thanksgiving. And then the votive Mass this week and the sisters' sale. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, we have been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rending thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 24, verses 15 to 35. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. But woe to those who are with child or who have infants at the breast in those days. But pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen from the beginning of the world until now, nor will be. And unless those days had been shortened, no living creature would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' do not go forth. 'Behold, he is in the inner chambers,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes forth from the east and shines even to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the body is, there will the eagles also be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then will all tribes of the earth mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty. And he will send forth his angels with a trumpet, and a great sound, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now from the fig tree learn this parable. When its branch is now tender and the leaves break forth, we know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I do need to speak somewhat first here about the saints this week, which I could have done with the announcements. The thing is this. This Sunday is report card day. This is the day that we take an assessment of ourselves. You can take out the examination of conscience that we have in the vestibule, and maybe as part of Thanksgiving today, your Thanksgiving after Mass, just read through. And the question we do, and we take our report card, there's our card, we're looking at it, and we're seeing how well we did. Because this means we have spent another year. God, through Holy Mother the Church, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, has been working on us for another liturgical year. This is the day that ends the liturgical year. And what have we done? What have we done with all those graces? Have we squandered them? Worse, have we rejected them? How many times has a good thought come to us, and I don't have time for that. I have to be busy about this. All those moments of grace. So we take those moments to think and say, am I? We can look at it from, we can do an examination by looking at the commandments. Do I pray better now? Do I keep the Lord's Day holier than I have? Do I honor the people that are placed between me and God? Do I still get angry? Am I impatient with others and myself because I'm too proud to recognize how weak and feeble I really am? Am I still lustful? Am I still always grasping for something else? Always trying to be better? Am I truthful? We can be looking at it from as the examination does, if you're familiar with it, it takes it from that angle, and the commandments of the church. Do I even think of the commandments of the church? Do I, in my own mind, think, okay, there are God's commandments, but the church, as if it's not the bride of Christ. So to just ignore support of the church, the fast and abstinence days. Or, as the examination does it take a look at our lives, our report card, according to the virtues? Do I believe more? Because the theological virtues, do I even know my catechism? Do I even bother thinking about it? Do I even look at it? Do I even own a catechism? Do I even know that the theological virtues have God exclusively as the direct object? And that in those three virtues, faith, hope, and charity, I can never have enough of them. Can never believe enough, hope enough. As Father said so many times, the key virtue in these days is hope. Because it's so easy to lose it. Not just the virtue, that'd be terrible. But just to lose that sense of confidence in God. Do I love God? Do I try to love God? The way to look at charity sometimes is just look at yourself. If you really care about somebody and the person completely ignores you or shows signs of animosity towards you, for whatever reason they have, maybe you are a person not worthy of being loved in return, maybe. But you think about that in that sense, and you start to appreciate a little bit, God is always extending his favors to us. Why? Because he just wants us to love us, love him. And we rebuff him all the time. How would you feel? How do you feel when you do that to people? You try to be kind, to love them, because there's some reason why you just love that person. And the person doesn't want it. It hurts, doesn't it? We've all experienced it. We know what it feels like. Well, God has a heart. And then we have the moral cardinal virtues. Again, your catechism will tell you that there's a golden mean. They are not theological. We can be too courageous, and then we're foolish. I'm not afraid of the enemy. I'm going to charge all by myself, thereby endangering the rest of my comrades. That's not courage. That's foolhardiness. That's an example in the moral virtues that there's an excess and a defect. I'm a coward. That's the defect. Courage is that virtue that acts when it's supposed to. It might mean, for example, let's take that case, it might mean that I do have to stand by myself against the enemy, not in a foolhardy charge, but because I must stay here and hold the position so the rest of my comrades can retreat. And I understand the enemy is going to kill me. But I will not let that fear stop me from my duty. That's another great, just reflecting as I'm saying it, that is another great virtue that we need today. We need courage. You need courage just to get up in the morning. Because as soon as you get up, everything you have to do that day is already hitting you. Hopefully, you've actually been able to sleep. Sometimes those things that you have to do keep you awake at night, right? Where you wake up in the middle of the night, worried, I have to do this tomorrow. We all know the effects of sin. But today is the day to see how we have handled them. Digression. Okay, the saints. The first thing I'm going to talk about is feast is not this week. Well, in a sense it is. That is Thursday, so I'm taking it out of order, because Thursday is the feast of St. Catherine of Labouré, who, of course, we know was given the miraculous medal, and we only can touch on the saints, obviously. Given the miraculous medal, and we have her picture inside the shrine of the Blessed Mother. But I'm going to talk about that day in this sense, that it is really St. Martin of Tours Day, and you've heard about that, that his feast was a couple weeks ago. We just want to remind us that those pilgrims were imitating what they saw the Catholics do in Europe, in Holland, on St. Martin's Day. And when they got here and thought, well, we've survived, what are we going to do? And they thought, we're going to imitate those Catholics. Now, we understand how the Catholic Church baptizes, christens, Christianizes pagan things, and makes them holy. We have the Pantheon, a temple to all these gods made into a church, St. Mary of the Martyrs Church. We know that. But it's interesting how the non-Catholics see these great things that the church has and tries to duplicate them. And I'm just pointing this out by the example of St. Martin of Tours, and Thanksgiving is just the Protestantized version of the Feast of St. Martin of Tours. So all of the things that we do on Thanksgiving were the things that they saw being done on St. Martin of Tours Day. The little processions, parades, the special fowl that they would eat, the goose is the turkey. Some of these things I've just been made aware of from another priest, not by him directly, but one of the people that heard him. So the influence of hearing the priest. Someone hearing the priest say, you know, Indian summer? Indian summer is after the first freeze of the autumn, and you have a nice sunny summer type day. They call it Indian summer. That's a paganizing of the Catholics. You can look it up. I never heard of it. It's called St. Martin's summer. All the days around St. Martin's feast day, they were like summer-like days, and we've had some since his feast. They were called St. Martin's summer. See how they've paganized it. So I just point out to you, there is this aping of the truth. You all know about it. That's why you're here. St. John of the Cross. There's so much we said about him. Great Carmelite saint. That's why we have the votive mass this week, just to be able to offer that mass. So much can be said, but I've said this many times, and I just say it now, because I think that illustrates something for us all. St. John of the Cross said, in all of the great things that he wrote, the great mystical doctor, he said, we are as much bound to the earth and all of its influences as by a chain or by a thread. The little bird cannot fly even if a thread holds it. So that's telling us we have a lot of work to do on this last day, this report card day. Even if we've been doing well this year, let's say that. Have we snipped that thread yet? I don't think so. We're not ready to fly. St. Catherine of Alexandria tomorrow, patroness of philosophers, because she in the 3rd or 4th century, defending the faith, she is befuddling all these pagan philosophers just by her reciting the catechism. That is the power we have with the catechism, by the way. And I'm going to skip just to St. Andrew, the first called. He's so overshadowed by his brother, St. Peter, of course, and that's understandable. But it's good to remember that St. Andrew, he is the one who brought St. Peter to our Lord. We have found the Christ. He's talking about himself and St. John the Apostle, those two. They spent that afternoon with our Lord. Our Lord said those famous words that we all must listen to and follow. Where dwellest thou, St. Andrew and St. John? First question, where do you live? And our Lord said, come and see. The call to a vocation. Come and see. A little point there. You know what you're hearing with that? You're hearing the Sacred Heart. That desire of God to love us, but he's sensitive. He invites. Did you hear? He didn't lay it. He just invited them. Come and see. Now, so we have to move on to today's Mass. This Mass, of course, is not just the time for each of us to take the report card and judge ourselves, but to judge in the very big picture. Now, next week, it'll be taking a look at these end days also, and taking a look at them with more of a hope, because it's going to be pointing to the second coming. Well, this is too, but the second coming, remind us of the first coming when we talk about the second, that is Christmas. So we'll leave that there. But this Sunday, of course, with this long reading in the gospel, St. Paul is telling us, be faithful to your baptism. Fulfill your promises. Renounce Satan and all his works and all his allurements. We had a baptism recently, and renew that christening. People talk about it as we're having the baby's christening. The reason why they're saying that, of course, just so you'll know if you forget, is that's because the sacred chrism, that special holy oil, is given, is anointed. The person being baptized, usually the infant nowadays, is being anointed with the chrism. And in there is the balsam that's been mixed into this holy oil when the bishop has made it, that has this fragrance, this aromatic fragrance, and it can be, you can smell it, and that's what happened at that baptism. We could smell that. And why? It's because the church, this law of incarnation, the sacramental system we know, helps hit our senses all the time to remind us, and that's hit our senses. We could smell this aromatic fragrance, and we are reminded that the child was christened with chrism, the anointing of the Messiah, the Christ. And we must carry his virtues and live a life that offers up, contrary to some of the saints like St. Catherine, who could smell the evil of sin from people around her. Here, these people are carrying the fragrance of Christ. We have to put that into action. That's all about St. Paul's epistle. And he's telling us all the things that will happen. And I'm thinking now of the collect for this Mass, telling us that we do these things and we receive greater graces. That's the collect. We hear in the post-communion about how these gifts, we just received Holy Communion, we put these into effect, and there we are going, we can be, the problems that we have and the physical and emotional and psychological problems, they can all be alleviated and taken away by this therapeutic level of grace. That's all in the post-communion prayer. But here, so in the gospel, so even though I already said next week we'll be given more of a hope looking at these final days, looking ahead to Christmas and everything, even in this Mass, the gospel itself is a tremendous warning. Tremendous warning. That everything we see, we all are used to, is going to end in its current way. As we've heard Father say, it's not going to be blown to oblivion someday. It will be renewed. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. God will not let the devil have his way. He tricked our parents and his creation, which it says throughout the opening of Genesis, he saw that everything he did was good. And so why do we run into problems? Because of sin, thanks to Satan and Adam, well, Eve too. So God's not going to let that stand. He has created everything, and he saw that it was good, and that's what it will be after the cleansing. And he gives us all these signs. And you may have been here for some of these conferences or even talk in the hall. And that's why I cannot attempt to do that about this gospel. You can see how there are so many details, especially we heard a couple of weeks ago, Father talking. Are you hearing some of the things he's saying in this gospel? Are you hearing about the sun will be obscured, and the moon and the stars will not give their light? What happens when we don't have the sun, we don't have this moon, we don't have the stars? We have darkness. Remember that? And we're so pleased everyone took those words and have done something about them. We have to change our lives too. So this gospel is very serious warning. And the opening of it, and that was handled a couple of weeks ago also. We just remind you. Because it's in the gospel and because it's in the mass texts for the divine office today. Holy Mother of the Church wants us to remember one of the signs is the abomination of desolation. As Daniel the prophet told us. And in the book of Maccabees, it talks about the abominable idol of desolation placed on the altar of God and worshipped in the temple of God. It's right there. He's telling us we are not foolish. We hear and we understand God. We understand. We have to get ourselves, our lives in order. We don't know the exact day and hour, obviously, but he gives us enough signs to know, get ready. And the elect are going to be small. And all the natural cataclysms, all the attacks on the church. Now, as I said, I might refer to some more of these things, but I don't want to now because we just heard it. We've heard it. We've heard it once in the vernacular. We've read it, all these things. So we're pretty much aware there's bad things coming. And, you know, I have to remind myself, but it's good for us all to know. We have a brotherhood. We see it because of the original sin. It's right there. What did I have to do? Why am I born deprived of God's grace? We call this loss of original justice. We call it original sin. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. Because in our father Adam, we sinned. Now, we have to keep that in mind. Because it does not say, and our Lord does not say, that the elect, they will be preserved, but they will still see these signs and terrible catastrophes and undergo them. Because we are all part of the same human family. So I didn't do these things, but we all must be punished. And frankly, if you have a sense of it, you almost say yes. But next week, of course, looks towards Christmas. But Holy Mother of the Church, during these last days of Pentecost, and they're all just getting us ready for this last day, has given us hope still. And that's the mass text. Thinking now of the gradual, just for example, or the Alleluia, out of the depths. Oh, yes, before we forget that. Thank you, God. Okay. You've seen this before in things that we do here. Hopefully you've paid attention to this. There's been a different color carpet here since November 2nd. It's black. We think of it. Of course, we walk out here for the Mass. We see it over here praying. That's a reminder. Have we even thought about those people since November 2nd? If we don't think of the item on the floor, but of course we have next to the tabernacle, right next to our Lord, the names of all those people still with the thread, keeping them from flying to our Lord. There's St. John of the Cross literally being shown right there. They're right next to the tabernacle. Hopefully, all of them are in heaven. But there are people who have died, and we're worried they're not free yet. And that's showing us they're right next to God. That's where we want to be, right next to him. But we want more. We want to be with him. There's still threads holding them. And of course, we cannot stop except to say, and parents. But that's, I have to do it. I have to look out for myself. So make sure you pray for your priests and the sisters and the brothers. If you've ever taught by sisters or brothers, if you ever received any sacraments from priests, pray for them. The priests do not leave behind any children of their own, except spiritual ones. You see that comment right there? That's saying it's built in to a parent to train their own children to pray. I think of the person who after every Mass would always say three Hail Marys for her parents. Why? Her parents taught how to do that for the people who had died. So how far back is that little devotion going? Because then this woman, who I heard say this, her own family, hearing her say it, I remember one of her nieces going home after she heard that little story about the three Hail Marys for her parents that she had been taught. One of her nieces going home right away and saying to her children, you make sure you pray for me. You say three Hail Marys after every Mass for me. If you're not doing that, I'm doing it. I'm asking. I'm pleading. We have somebody. Might still be there. Pleading for those souls and those priests and sisters and brothers. And by the way, God never forgets, obviously. And that love that we show to those people, he will make sure we are taken care of in our time. We don't want to be like that, looking out for self, but, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so. But I just want to end with these remarks about the text of the Mass. I digressed there, because I didn't say about the gradual. It says, you have freed us from those who hate and attack us and persecute us. So there will be redemption. But the great words of this introit, the Lord says, I think thoughts of peace and not of affliction. I will bring my people back from captivity. Do you not hear that? Do you not hear the Sacred Heart calling out to us? That we want to have the time, if you so are moved, read the entire letter from God. Yes, it's a letter. These are just three verses from a letter that God dictated to his people in exile. And he had the prophet Jeremiah write these words and send this letter from Jerusalem, the holy city, to the people, his people, who were paying for their sins. He had driven them out and had them taken away in captivity, the Babylonian captivity. And they were to stay out 70 years. Is that how long we have to wait? It's not the 40 years, we can tell that. It's not the 40 years of the Jews in the desert because of their crimes. Because it's been more than 40 years. Are we in for 70 years? maybe more, who knows? But read that letter, and he says, yes, I am punishing the people because of their crimes. But to you, the elect, I say, I do not think thoughts of affliction, but peace. And I will call you back. So, in the face of the terrors that await the world, and us to whatever degree we may see them, have we already seen the abomination of desolation? Seems like it. But in the face of all that, we have to walk away and say, as St. Paul teaches us, we can reform. Have we had even a passing grade this year? But God, I know you want me to go to heaven. And I want to go. And I'm going to change. So that when the new year comes next week, I am already to begin anew, afresh, and not waste any of your love on me. May God bless you.